So Exodus, second book of Moses, chapter, where we want to go? 16. We're going to go to chapter 16. There's many lessons in here we can learn from the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings. They did wander quite a while, but Exodus 16 is another one. Lord laid on my heart, and I had them all tied together last night, and I'm like, this is not going to work, because it's like, no, we'll be here all day. So I had to break it all down. The Lord laid it on my heart this morning for the one, and And I got this kind of separated out a little bit, and we'll see what it talks about. I titled this, God Supplies Our Needs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we once again thank you that we're able to come here tonight to hear your word. Lord, to take it in and use it in our lives. Lord, give us that wisdom and that knowledge to do so, to take heed to it. Lord, to learn from the children of Israel, from, Lord, the things that they did right, the things that they did wrong. We need to learn from both and know not where to make mistakes. Lord, we thank you for it. Ask you to be with us throughout the rest of this evening. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1. This is starting out really good already. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured again against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. And ye have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said unto the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, which they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. That's a good thing for us to remember, by the way. When we do murmur and complain about our Christian life, about the church, about the pastor, about each other. Listen, we're really not murmuring, complaining to one of us. It's actually against the Lord. Kind of like David. David, you know, David went out with Bathsheba. He. Everybody knows that story. What a mess that was. But he didn't sin. In other words, his sin was against God. Amen. See, when we go against God, it's against him. I'm not sinning against Kevin. or Brother Tony, it's against God. We need to remember that. It tends to bring a whole new meaning to it. Verse 9, he says, "And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at eve ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it come to pass at the even, the quails come up and cover the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was." By the way, that's what that means. What is it? "And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Now, when we see the children of Israel, they come out of Egypt, and as I said this morning, it's a picture of our salvation and coming out of sin. And they come out of the bondage of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They went into a panic, and I'm not going to hold it against them. I've done the same thing. Then they leave there, and they find out if they'd have just waited, it would have been really nice for a while. And then when they leave Elam, they head towards Sinai in this vast wilderness, and then they start thinking, hey, we got to eat. Now, in my thoughts, I know they had animals. Listen, as long as I got dogs and cats, I ain't going hungry. You're the only one that got that. I don't have a dog or a cat. My dog passed away, by the way. He was old. He had some problems. But all jokes aside, when you think about it, you got all these cattle out here. They did have cattle. No doubt they had sheep. They might have had some goats around. I know they didn't have any pigs, although after Peter saw the sheep, we can eat pig now. That's good. Because I had that this morning. they had food, to be honest with you. And so to me, it's like, why are you complaining? But as the more I got to think about this, I know God supplies our needs, and that's what God was showing them. He was supplying their needs, and it was the bread of life, by the way, that came down. That was the manna. And if you study that over in John, you'll find out that Jesus was the bread of life. He was the bread of life. You trust in him. You take him within, and we've got eternal life. And that was just a picture of that, but the manna from heaven. But, I think one of their biggest things is they had it pretty rough in Egypt. But they did have food. It was there all the time. Surely the Egyptians kept their slaves fed. You don't want them going hungry. But nonetheless, God supplies our needs. But in our Christian walk through this life, God has promised that he will never leave nor forsake us. Now, sometimes we get to panicking. Things start getting slim or whatever's going on in our life. It starts getting pretty rough on us, and we start thinking, hello. You start wondering. Now, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? We should. That's really what we should be doing. We live on promises, really. And not explanations. I live on the promises of God. That He's promised me, fact, if I trusted in Him, I'm going to heaven. He's promised me, and as a fact in the Word, that He says He'll take care of me. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He says, I may not have all my wants, but He is going to give me my needs. We won't discuss that. I'm a long way from starving. You see, but when we're hurting, when things are going wrong in our life, in the same way we see with these guys, it's a normal response, unfortunately, to say, why? W-H-Y, with a capital W, capital H, capital Y, why? Why? My kids, until they got big enough to figure out that they got a whipping if they said why, because I didn't like the word why, and I got a feeling God don't like the word why, but nonetheless, that's a response. Really, that's the wrong approach that we should be taking. We shouldn't be taking that approach of why, God, did this happen? Why is this going on? Really, by doing so, to a point, we actually are questioning God's sovereignty. Amen. For our lives. Really and truly, we're sort of in a sense, and I'm careful here, but we kind of take Him off the throne. We kind of take that place of well, maybe I know more about it than you do. Maybe I know a better route than what you know. God really doesn't have to give us an answer. Sometimes He does, sometimes He don't. But honestly, God really doesn't have to give us an answer. And if He answered us, just think of it this way. If He answered us, would we totally understand His plans and purpose? I don't think so. I really don't. And I'm going to explain some of that in a minute. Crossing the Red Sea. I have studied how they did that. And I'm like, now I was in the military, and it doesn't take being in the military to know this. But when we went somewhere and done whatever, we always made sure there was an escape route. They went off down there. God could have took them a lot of different ways, by the way, to get to Mount Sinai. But God purposely took them down to the Red Sea. They didn't have, when the Egyptian army showed up, they didn't have anywhere to go. They were up against a wall. It was like, now to me, that just sounds kind of dumb. I don't want to put myself in that situation. I'm not wild about that idea of I don't have an escape route. Most everybody in here had been with me somewhere at some point to eat. 99% of the time, I back into a parking place. And the reason why is because I like to leave in a hurry if I need to. It's harder to back up and get turned around than just, you know, you get me in my pickup, I'm okay. I watched these riots they had in Minnesota the other night. I'm like, they stopped an SUV. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm going to drive through them. You let me in my pickup? And you want to take on a bumper? That's your business. Get out of my way. That's the way I look at it. So when I looked at the Red Sea, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Now, in my mind, if God had said, go down to the Red Sea, Moses, take them all down there, I'm going to be thinking, Moses is a smart man. Wait a minute. What if the Israelites attack me? And later, God told him, hey, they're going to come. Well, why are we going to the sea here? I can imagine the elders of the bunch, they're all out there. Where's the boats at, man? We ain't got time to build one. You know, do we understand God's plans and purposes? They had no idea he was going to say, Moses, stretch your hand out and I'm going to part the Red Sea. If they'd have told me that, I'd have said, yeah, and I got some beachfront property in Phoenix. And unreal surfing there. Ask Brother Kevin, he's been. I'll sell it to you cheap. It don't make sense. But you see, God's plans and purposes are way above ours. Amen. There was a real purpose for that. It was to let them see his power. They had been for, 400 and something years in bondage. They had no idea about the God of Jacob. They didn't know what kind of God they had dealt with, the God of Abraham and Isaac. They didn't know what they had dealt with, what they were going to deal with. They didn't have a clue of what was going to happen. They didn't know what kind of power God had. God was going to show them. He was going to open that up, and they crossed the Red Sea. You know, you think about Job. Now, I'm not one to... studying Job scares me. Job got frustrated with his situation, rightly so. He pretty much lost everything in, a day? 2 days, maybe? Everything. It just, boom, gone. And Job sort of hinted, and you might have even said this, I'd like to sit down at a meeting with God and ask him a few things. You know, Job thought that. Job never got too angry with him. Job never backed off and quit trusting him. But Job was questioning what all was going on. Job had some answers. He was like, I need some answers here. What am I doing wrong? If you want to go over to Job, I'm going to go over to Job chapter 40. I want to read something. Job chapter 40, verse 1. It said, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall ye that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Really and truly, Job, in a fit of frustration, said, why? What? Hello. It's not the best thing to ask God, but it is a normal response. But if you notice, Job was so overwhelmed with God talking to him that he couldn't say nothing. He couldn't ask him no longer. He just kept his mouth shut. You know, can we really, really understand everything about God? All of his plans with us. Go to Isaiah. And a lot of you know where I'm going to go. 55. Isaiah 55. We're going to end here in just a second. Isaiah 55. In verse 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then he says in verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. He's way up here. You ever been around that person that is IQ'd and to the max? They can't even hardly tie their shoes. And you know you're not going to talk to them about what they're educated in. Now, I'm going to go with Will Rogers. Will Rogers said the dumbest man in the world is the guy, and I can't quote it, but the dumbest man in the world is the guy that gets on the conversation with something he knows nothing about. That's deep. You don't know much about it. You know, I've been around some people. My heart doctor, when I had my heart attack back in 2010, I met a guy, a big, tall dude. His name was Ah Miller, Dr. Ah Miller. And listen, he's so far more advanced than I am in heart surgery. Unreal. Now, I get him in shoeing. You know, I could ask him, you know what navicular disease is? You know what ring bone is? You know what caused it? Hey, do you know how to shoe them so they can continue? He might have said, man, I ain't, what are you talking about? But he was so educated that I couldn't even understand him when he was just talking normal to me. And it's like, listen, God is so far advanced from us that if we're trying to figure out what he's doing, ain't going to work. We ain't going to get it. We're not going to understand, even if he tells us. If he said, hey, go down to the Red Sea and I'm going to part it. Sure you are. By the way, you guys are going to go out this afternoon and these quail just going to come flying by and then they're going to go, ooh, and fall dead. They're just going to fall all over the ground now when you go out of your tent. You're going to have all the quail. Listen, I like quail. Quail's good eating. These here are little bitty quail. I like these big quail. But if God had said, hey, you're just going to go out there and going to be ribeyes laying all over. Sure. And when the frost raises up off the ground, there's going to be this sweet little bread out there. It's going to taste good. Looks like a coriander seed. I don't even know what a coriander seed is. Tastes like honey. Sure, yeah. Honey, what you got in case it ain't there? You know, really, he amazes me every day of my life. When I really back up and I think about it, at the end of the day, when I back up and I look at what all God had his hands in each day, I'm like, oh, wow. Amen. When I back up, honestly, when I back up and look at my life, even before I got saved, and I see the finger of God in everything that was going on in my life, I'm like, really? It's amazing. Listen, go to Romans. Book of Romans chapter 11. Last scripture. Am I lying? No, last scripture. Verse 33. Chapter 11, verse 33. Paul wrote under the direction of the Holy Spirit, of course. He said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Listen, I was on a boat the other night out in Lake Mead. Me and Sandy were on the top deck. And we're just laying there looking, had our heads laying back, looking at the stars. And he's like, wow. When we got around there at the dam, it was really a lot darker. And boy, the stars were just... And she says, you know, he's got them all named. I said, yeah, he does. She said, what do you think language he named them in? Greek, Hebrew, or English? I said, I don't know. But it's amazing the knowledge and wisdom God has. Then how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We can't even find out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? I always like that verse. Who do you think counseled God? Am I going to counsel God now? Why, Lord? Now listen. I mean, seriously. When that word slips out, why? That's what we need to do. We need to do what Job did. Oh, who hath... Oops. Where's my verse? Yeah, 35. Oh, who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. And over in Colossians it tells us, listen, all things consist because of him. Listen, he's the reason it all happens every day. He's the reason that I look out there and that light's on finally. It may not go off in the morning like it's supposed to because the little switch ain't working right. But he's the reason that even comes on. And the dude with the kite thought he was. What was his name? I forgot his name, huh? Franklin. Yeah, Ben Franklin. Who in their right mind gonna fly a kite in a lightning storm? That tells you a lot about these smart folk. I got more sense than that. But listen, it's because of God that we've got lights. It's because of him that I was sitting in the house today and I'm like, it's hot in here. So I go and turn the AC down a little bit. And it's like, yeah, it's nice. And then later I'm like, she said, it's cold. And I'm like, yeah. That's the way it works, brother. Explanations, by the way. If he give us an explanation, would it really change anything? You know, God, why? Okay. Bah, 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 bah. The explanation's really not going to change nothing. But I'm going to tell you what does. The explanations, it don't change anything. It don't heal the broken hearts or the problems. But promises do. See, we need to depend on God's promises. Promises depend on what? Faith. And faith puts us in touch with what? The grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. God give us that, and he give us that grace, which we didn't deserve. And any time we got a bind, we're in a bind or something goes wrong, he gives us the grace to continue in whatever it is. We just got to say, Lord, I don't quite understand why all this is falling apart. I don't quite understand why these things take place. I don't understand this or whatever it may be. But he does. And we just got to trust in him. And I'm going to be the first to tell you, it ain't always the easiest thing to do. Listen, when I look at the Israelites and what they went through, I don't laugh at them too much and say, you bunch of dummies. Because I've been there myself. I've been in the same situation in that some of the time they've been in some of some sort. And I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? I just don't, and worried myself sick and lose all kind of sleep. And in the morning, God says, oh. And you're like, you feel like an idiot. Listen, God supplies our needs and God takes care of his children. He said he'll always be there with us. And that ought to be a comfort and a blessing for us. Amen. Let's stand and we'll have an invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed.